All right, hard to believe that it's almost Christmas time again. Amen. I don't know about you guys. I think it was just Christmas last month, maybe. It just, I don't know, time, at least for me, goes by so quick. And of course, you know, with Christmas time, one of the big things that that we see is all the Christmas shows, right? I don't know if you've noticed, all the Christmas shows are back now. And I know my wife likes Christmas shows. Donna watches some of those Christmas shows. And every now and then she'll watch some of them on the Hallmark Channel. And I have decided that Hallmark has one movie. They just keep doing it over and over and over with different actors. Because if you watch one, you've seen them all. You know what's going to happen before it even starts. So I guess me personally, I'm not a big fan of the Hallmark movies. Of course, there are some Christmas classics that have been around forever. Miracle on 34th Street. I think we all have seen that one. It's a Wonderful... A Wonderful Life, a movie that's about an hour too long. Otherwise, it's a great movie. then, of course, you know, my all-time favorite in The Christmas Story, you know, Kid, You're Gonna Shoot Your Eye Out. I think that's one of the greatest Christmas movies ever, although Donna disagrees with me on that one. And I'm excited they made a new one to that now with Ralphie as an adult. I watched it. I like it. Bah Humbug, of course. We have, I don't know how many iterations of A Christmas Carol. And every year somebody does at least two new ones to add to the collection. So we ought to know that one by now. So Bah Humbug, The Grinch. Every now and then I get accused of being The Grinch. But I have yet to steal Christmas. Maybe a little more Bah Humbug than The Grinch. But really, I think for me personally, it's not so much Bah Humbug, but maybe I identify most with Charlie Brown and Good Grief, right? Now, I will tell you, I think that is one of the most all-time great movies ever. It's got to be the number one Christmas show. It's not really a movie because it's like a 30-minute show. It's got to be the number one, in my opinion, the number one Christmas show ever made. Amen. It was made in 1965, so some of us can remember before there was a Charlie Brown Christmas. For a lot of other people, it's just been something that's always been there. But interestingly enough, it was the first Peanuts animated special ever done. You know, we all knew when I was a kid, we all knew Peanuts. We read the comic books, the Peanuts comic books. And in fact, that was always one of my favorites. I had one and I read it over and over and over and just never got tired of what Charlie Brown and Snoopy were going to do. Peanuts was becoming very popular in 1965 in the mid-60s. And so there was a desire to make an animated special. You know, people thought there might can be some money there. And so it kind of went back and forth. And finally, Coca-Cola stepped up and said, hey, we'll sponsor it. We'll do a Charlie Brown animated special. And interesting enough, I think at first they wanted to do an hour, but because they were starting so late in the year, they had to trim it back because they could only do enough animation to fill up a 30-minute show. And so the show was born. They finished it. The CBS execs looked at it and they were underwhelmed completely. And I thought, what do we do with this? You know? And they had all these complaints. They said, well, it's too religious. I mean, it spends how much time quoting from the King James, right? So it has scripture from the King James. They did not think that was going to go over well at all. And then they thought, the music, what is this jazz, you know, fusion Beethoven stuff? Why would you put this in a show? And interesting enough, Charles Schulz, who was the creator of Peanuts, he retained creative control over the special, and he would not back down. He pretty much said, no, this is the show that I want to make. And if you don't want to make it, that's fine. We just won't do a show, but I will not sell out my Peanuts characters, and I will not compromise on the story that I want to tell. And he said, what I really want to do, if we do this, I want to tell the real meaning of Christmas. So he stood his ground. The CBS execs decided to let it go and just to see what would happen. And as they say, the rest is history, right? It's one of the best known Christmas shows ever. The weird jazz music has taken on a whole life of itself. I just saw they've come out with a new boxed set of CDs. And some of it is alternate takes of, that they recorded. So I guess that weird jazz was the appropriate music to put in there. And, it's become an amazing hit. Also, another interesting little fact that I came across, when they first showed the full animation clip, the first time they watched it, when they got to the end and there were the credits, Charles Schulz's name was misspelled. So it's Schulz, no T in his name, but they had misspelled his name in the credits. I guess they corrected that before it aired, but I'm sure his name has gotten misspelled quite a bit over the years. But so anyway, he stood his ground, told his story, and I think we kind of know the story of Charlie Brown Christmas, something maybe that some of us can relate to. Everybody's focused on all the trappings, all the goings on, and it's the shopping and the decorating and the gifts. And I especially love Sally, Charlie Brown's little sister, because she goes into this thing about, she has her list of things that she wants. And I don't know, maybe some of you with kids or our grandkids can relate, right? They got that list. This is what I want. And then Sally ends up her list, and if you can't get any of that, then cash will do just fine. So she's pretty much wrapped up in that. Of course, Snoopy's, wrapped up in his decorations on putting his lights on his dog house. And, Charlie Brown is looking at everything that's going on, and he's depressed, because he says, this is not what Christmas is supposed to be about. And he sees everybody is focused on everything but Christmas. And to him, it's just become too commercial. And I wonder, and realize that was in 1965. So that was what, 50 something years ago, if I could do math in my head. 50 something years ago. Imagine if it was Charlie Brown today and he looked around. What would he think about when Christmas actually starts before we even have Thanksgiving, right? Charlie Brown would really be depressed today. Christmas has become a giant industry, has it not? It's about selling and selling, and we didn't used to have Black Friday. Then we had Black Friday, and now we have, like Black Friday week and Cyber Monday and Cyber Monday week, and everything's just this goal to see how much they can possibly sell. Everything is so focused on that. Stores start putting up the Christmas stuff, again before Thanksgiving. And so we do kind of have a commercialized view of Christmas here in America, I think. And fewer people, I think, realize the true meaning of Christmas. So I'm glad that we still have Charlie Brown to help explain what is the true meaning of Christmas. Of course, in the show, Charlie Brown takes on the job of directing the play that the kids are doing. And so he becomes a director. And so they give him the job of buying the Christmas tree, right? And of course, the most famous Christmas tree ever now is the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. I mean, we see it and we know that's the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. No question about it. Another one of those great icons that came from the show. And of course, Charlie Brown, just nothing goes right for him. And the tree that he picks just doesn't seem to work. I don't know. I think about that in our house. We got about 3 trees up so far. I've lost count. We got multiple trees up with more to come, I'm sure. So, and none of them Charlie Brown trees. Our house is well on the way of being decorated. We do have a Christmas tree sitting in a box to go up here on the churchyard. We're way behind on Christmas this year. When I say we, I mean Donna, because she's the Christmas decorator. And I promise you, if I was in charge of decorating for Christmas, that would be my Christmas right there. I would be done. I can relate to Charlie Brown when it comes to Christmas. Of course, Charlie Brown steps up and he's trying to direct the Christmas play, and they're doing the nativity. And of course, that's what kids are supposed to do every year, is act out the nativity. And, over the years, I've seen a lot of kids' plays where they have done the nativity, and there have been a lot of amusing things that have come about as a result. I know, one of my all-time favorites was the kid, and he was supposed to come out and say, "Look, King of the Jews." And all he did was King of the Juice. He had no idea what a Jew was, but he certainly knew what orange juice was. I know another one, we had the kids, dressed up in their costumes. We had the little sheep with all the cotton balls. And one of his cotton balls came loose, and he's blowing it up in the air, seeing how long he can keep it. And he's just wandering. The sheep is wandering everywhere. And I'm sure all you guys have seen equally. I know one of the greatest Christmas plays we've ever had at Light on a Hill Church. And Cindy, you probably remember this one. This is 20 years ago. We had a young man, and he was the only young kid we had in the church. And he decided that we had to have a Christmas play. And so he did a one man acting out the Christmas story. It was hilarious. And he organized it all himself. He built his own everything. He organized his own costumes. And so he would come out and do a few lines, and then he would run in the back, and he would change his costume, and he would run out, do some more lines, and he would run out. It was awesome. I wish we would have had that captured on tape. It would have been great. But again, I can kind of relate to Charlie Brown's task of trying to organize the Christmas play. And of course, in the show, it's Sally is the one that has the problem. She is the angel, and she has one line in the whole play. Her line is, "Hark," right? "Hark, the herald angels sing." She's supposed to come out and say, "Hark," and she gets stage fright, and she runs out. She can't remember her line, and she says, "Hockey stick." It was like maybe Schultz had seen a kid's play or two in his time. But I love it because it finally, as they're working on this play, and everything's just falling apart, and Charlie Brown's becoming more and more and more depressed, and finally he says, "Doesn't anybody know the real meaning of Christmas?" And this is when I think the show takes that turn. Amen. And this is what took what might have been an okay show and made it maybe one of the greatest shows ever. Because Linus stands up, and what does he do? He quotes from Luke chapter 2, and he tells the Christmas story. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read it from the NLT, a little bit different than what Linus said, but it's the same story. And it said, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." And we got shepherds and sheep up here with me today. Amen. "And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Amen. And I think the greatest thing about that show is, for the last 50-something years, over and over and over again, people have heard the word of God. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that he stood his ground and he said, "If we're going to use my characters, this is going to be in the show." And realize, even it might be a really hard sell to make a new show today that had that in it. But understand, it was hard in 1965. For those of us who were around in 65, we remember that it was getting more and more difficult even back then. So because of that, people watch the show and they hear the word of God. I think the hand of God was somehow in that. Amen? Isn't that great? And of course, then if you watch the show, right then is the turning point. Everything changes. Amen? And that's the way it should be in our lives. We can get busy with Christmas and everything that's going on. And I know, it just seems like, as I said, time keeps accelerating. And all of a sudden, you're out of time, and the decorations aren't up, and hopefully we'll get the tree up. But you know, if we don't get the tree up, the world doesn't come to an end. Amen? We don't have to have a tree to have Christmas. We don't have to have all the trappings. We don't have to have all the decorations. All those things, they're good. But Christmas does not begin and end on those things. Amen? We need to remember what Christmas is really about. And maybe we need Charlie Brown every now and then to remind us to slow down and go back to the true meaning of Christmas. And you know, it's pretty sad that as a country, we're moving away from the true meaning of Christmas. Every year in America, thousands of churches close their doors and shut down. Why do they shut down? Because there's nobody left in the church. People aren't coming. What happens at some point? churches closed down. You know, we used to be in an America where new churches were being built and more people were coming in. And now we have the mass exodus. Fewer and fewer people attend church every year here in America. Attitudes have changed. I remember several years back when Christmas fell on a Sunday, we were talking to a pastor friend of ours at another church, and I'll leave his name out to protect the guilty. But he was telling us that he had a lady come to him, and she said, "Christmas falls on a Sunday this year. Are we going to cancel church?" And he's like, "What? What? Cancel church? Isn't that what Christmas is about?" She had lost the true meaning of Christmas, had she not? And then I love it. He came back. He said, "You know, Easter falls on a Sunday. Maybe we ought to cancel church on Easter too." But we need to be careful. We do remember the true meaning of Christmas. And by the way, Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, and we are having church. Amen. If nobody else comes, Donna and I will be here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I hope you all can come. If you're in town, hope you all can come and be a part, because we shouldn't cancel church because of Christmas. Amen. Oh, hey, got to cancel church today because we're celebrating the birth of Christ. But that's kind of where things have gotten in America, where this is the way church people are starting to think even, is that, oh, well, church, it's an inconvenience in everything I have going for Christmas. You know, I got the family and we got the gifts and the presents and all that stuff. But that's not what Christmas should be about. It's okay to have all those things, but we need to keep our priorities, I think. We need to keep things in order. I know for me, really, my highlight of Christmas is always Christmas Eve service. And I mentioned that we're doing that again this year. I really enjoy the Christmas Eve service. One is because by the time we get to Christmas Eve, kind of by that point, if it's not done, it's past time to worry about it. So you can finally take a breath. All the gifts have been bought. All the decorations are up. All you're going to do has been done. And that, to me, is a great time when we can just say, let's come and let's focus on what Christmas is really about. And so I love that. And again, I encourage you, if you're all possible, come join us for that hour on Christmas Eve. You will not be disappointed, I think, if you come and join us. And bring somebody with you. I know a lot of churches don't do anything on Christmas Eve ever. So, you know, you have friends, neighbors, family. They don't have a Christmas Eve service to go to. Bring them here. We would love to have them come be a part. But we need to keep that focus. As Christians, we need to keep the focus back on Christ. And so, what is Christmas about? Well, I want to say, I think Linus was partially right. Amen? And I understand it was a 30-minute kids show, so he didn't have time to delve into to the whole thing. But so he gets partial credit for his answer. Because absolutely, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But it's about so much more than just the birth of Jesus. And that's what we really need to remember. So Jesus was born, that's it. But also, it's God with us. Amen? That's, I think, the true meaning of Christmas right there. God with us. When God left his place in heaven and he became like us, clothed himself in humanity, he walked among us, and then he died for our sins. Amen? That's the Christmas story right there. Christmas isn't one day, but Christmas is the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. That's what Christmas is about. Because had Jesus just been born, it wouldn't matter. Amen? He had to be born. He had to live the life that he lived. He had to die upon the cross to pay the price for our sins. He had to be buried in the tomb for 3 days. And ultimately, had he not been resurrected, it still wouldn't have mattered. But because he rose up on the third day and he ascended to heaven, that makes Christmas something special. That makes Christmas something worth celebrating. Amen? That makes Christmas worth something that we put everything else on hold and spend just a little time remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior. Amen? And I know if you're like us, you may have family that comes to visit on Christmas. Well, our family comes to church with us. And if they don't want to come, then that's fine. They can stay home. We're going to church. Amen? They always come with us. But I promise you, if we have family that said, "I don't want to go to church," our answer would be, then don't. Because we're going. And we'll pick up when we get back. We need to keep our focus on what Christmas is about. And part of that means spreading that good news to the world around us. Amen? What better time to share the message of Jesus Christ than when we're celebrating Christmas? What better time than when you walk into stores and you still hear them singing, you know, Christ our Savior. Amen? Jesus the Messiah is born. I mean, we still hear those in a lot of stores. I'm amazed that those haven't been stamped out yet, but it's always very pleasant when you go in, you're shopping, and you go in and you hear the birth of Jesus being proclaimed. Amen? It's still amazing when you see the manger scene set up and you see baby Jesus there in the manger and Mary and Joseph and the angels and the camels and whatever. It's pretty awesome over and over and over again at Christmas how much we see the gospel message being proclaimed to the world around us. Amen? So Christmas is about celebrating the living Christ ultimately. Amen? We don't celebrate somebody who's dead. We celebrate somebody who's still alive. Isn't that awesome? And I want to think about something for just a minute. I hadn't really thought about this before, but think about when Jesus was born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothing. He was wrapped in strips of cloth. Even though most of the time we see the manger scene being, you know, a wooden barn of some sort, Jesus was probably born in a cave that had been carved out. And even though we see the manger looking, you know, the thing that we always have, the little X thing, you know, for the cows come over and eat in, probably the manger that he was laid in was probably a shelf that was carved into the stone inside that cave. So here he is, he's wrapped up in his swaddling clothes and the strips of cloth inside this cave, sitting on this little bench where they put the food up there for the animals. And think about how that foreshadowed how his life would end. When they took him down, took his body off the cross, what did they wrapped it up in the strips of cloth. They took him to the cave that was a tomb. And there in that tomb, there was a ledge carved out there, and they laid his body on the ledge. You ever thought about that before? Isn't that amazing how his birth foreshadowed his death? In that tomb, he didn't stay there, but on the third day, he rose up, took off all those strips of clothing, and the angel, we're told, opened up the door, and Jesus walked out, and then Jesus became the door. Amen? And he left that door open. Everyone has that opportunity to follow him, to come and be with him. And so Christmas is ultimately about that empty tomb where the body of Jesus was, but it can no longer be found. Where the angel rolled away the stone and that door was open, the door to eternal life. Christmas is about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of God's only Son. So for 50-something years now, Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang, they've been helping spread the true meaning of Christmas. And I'm really, really glad that Charles Schulz made that show. And I'm grateful that hopefully has impacted countless lives over the years. How awesome is it that he's had that opportunity to tell the message of the birth of Christ so many times to so many kids for so many years. So this year, let's remember the true meaning of Christmas. Let's be more like Linus, amen? And let's be willing to go tell people about the true meaning of Christmas. Let's be willing to slow our lives down just a little bit. Share the gospel message. Share the love of Christ. I promise I'll try to be less bah humbug this year. Amen? But on the other hand, don't be surprised if you do hear a good grief or two. Amen?